ಓಂ ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರುಭ್ಯೋ ನಮಃ. ಹರಿಹಿ ಓಂ. ಸದಾಶಿವ ಸಮಾರಂಭಾಂ ಶಂಕರಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಮಧ್ಯಮಾಂ ಅಸ್ಮದಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಪರ್ಯಂತಾಂ ವಂದೇ ಗುರು ಪರಂಪರಾಂ ಸದ್ಗುರುಚರಣಾರವಿಂದಾಭ್ಯಾಂ ನಮಃ. ಪೂರ್ಣಮದ ಪೂರ್ಣಮಿದಂ ಪೂರ್ಣಾತ್ ಪೂರ್ಣಮುದಚ್ಯತೆ ಪೂರ್ಣಸ್ಯ ಪೂರ್ಣಮಾದಾಯ ಪೂರ್ಣಮೇವಾವಶಿಷ್ಯತೆ. ಓಂ ಶಾಂತೇ ಶಾಂತೇ ಶಾಂತಿಃ. ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರುಭ್ಯೋ ನಮಃ. ಹರಿಹಿ ಓಂ. ಬೃಹದಾರಣ್ಯಕ ಉಪನಿಷತ್ ಮುನಿಕಾಂಡಂ ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ 4 ಸೆಕ್ಷನ್ 4 ಶ್ಲೋಕ 6. ಯದೇಷ ಶ್ಲೋಕೋ ಭವತಿ ತದೇವ ಸಕ್ತಃ ಸಹಕರ್ಮಣೈಃ ಲಿಂಗಂ ಮನೋ ಯತ್ರ ನಿಷಕ್ತಮಸ್ಯ ಪ್ರಾಪ್ಯಾಂತಂ ಕರ್ಮಣಸ್ತಸ್ಯ ಯತ್ಕಿಂಚೇಹ ಕರೋತ್ಯಯಂ ತಸ್ಮಾಲ್ಲೋಕಾತ್ ಪುನರೈತಿ ಅಸ್ಮೈ ಲೋಕಾಯ ಕರ್ಮಣೇ ಇತುನು ಕಾಮಯಮಾನಃ ಅಥಾ ಕಾಮಯಮಾನಃ ಯೋ ಕಾಮೋ ನಿಷ್ಕಾಮಃ ಆಪ್ತಕಾಮ ಆತ್ಮಕಾಮಃ ನ ತಸ್ಯ ಪ್ರಾಣ ಉತ್ಕ್ರಾಮಂತಿ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮೈವ ಸನ್ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮಾಪ್ಯೇತಿ. ವಿ ಸಾ ದಿಸ್ ಶ್ಲೋಕ ಇನ್ ದಿ ಲಾಸ್ಟ್ ಕ್ಲಾಸ್, ದಟ್ ಇಸ್ ಯೆಸ್ಟರ್ಡೇ. And when we did this shloka at the end, I said for the last line, Brahma Ivasan Brahma Pyethi. This Brahma Pyethi, Adi Shankaracharya wrote a separate bhashyam for this particular usage, Brahma Pyethi. And we will see briefly that bhashyam today. So after discussing Jivan Mukti, the Upanishad talked about Videha Mukti. Natasya Pranaha Utkramanti. When the Prarabdha Karmas are exhausted at the time of death, Tasya Pranaha Na Utkramanti. Utkramanti means Uparigramanam. His Pranas do not leave the body to travel further to take Punarjanma. And leaving the body is only for one purpose. Normally, it is only to Punarjanma Praptihi, to get Punarjanma only. Normally, the prana leaves the body. Therefore, prana utkramanam means Punarjanma, because prana leaves the body to only take another body. Whereas in the case of a jnani, tasya pranaha na utkramanti, his prana, that means his sukshma shariram, does not leave the body. Then what happens? That is said somewhere else, actually, not here. Atraiva samavaniyate. In Brahmadharaniya, actually, earlier we have seen, the jnani merges into the total here itself. Then what happens to the jivatma? What happens to the chaitanyam or the real atma? That is very, very important line. Brahmaivasan brahma apyeti. Being already Brahman, Brahmaivasan, he merges into Brahman, merges in quotes. So, Jivan Muktahasan, Videha Mukto Bhavati, Apyeti. Apyeti means to merge. Apyeti Liyate, Eki Bhavati. So, becomes one. And Jnani becomes one with Brahman. Thus, Videha Mukti has been talked about. And there is a brief analysis, as I told you, slowly or the inquiry of the statement, Brahmai Vasan, Brahma Apyeti. A nice bhashyam. It is called Brahma Pyeti Bhashyam by Shankaracharya. And why is an inquiry required? The question arises because Yajnavalkya uses a verb, Apyeti. In Vedanta, any verb will create a problem. Why? Because when you use a verb, you will immediately conclude that something is going to happen. It is some kind of an event or an incident or a process. So many people consider moksha is some kind of an event that is going to happen in future. In Puranas also, often there are stories, they are told as though a devotee is merging into the Lord. You will hear the stories of various sons and saints. For example, Sant Tukaram Maharaj, traveling up and merging with the Lord. It seems he used to have the symbols, you know, Jalra, the symbols with him all the time. And as a mark of his merging with the Lord, the symbols alone fell down. So many such stories are given in various places. So we are not against bhakti, celebrations, nama puja and all that thing, japa, everything, bhajans. But what we say is that cannot be defined as moksha because it is against all kinds of logic. Because it becomes an event in which a jiva travels from one place to another place, either goes near the Lord. They say several kinds for this. Salokyam, one goes to the same loka, Vaikuntha loka, Kailasa loka, where the Lord is, so that he can enjoy the status where the Lord is. That is called Salokyam. Samanaha lokaha yasyam tasya bhavaha. And then Samipyam, one goes near the Lord, close to the Lord. And then Sarupyam, seeing the Lord repeatedly, one begins to get same shape as the Lord. Sarupyam, samanam rupam. And thereafterwards, Sayujyam, bhakta becomes not one with Lord, but becomes a part of the Lord. Thus, we have got stories in Puranas, we have got historical stories also. Therefore, we look upon moksha as an event. And once we call moksha as an event, there is an expectation, there is an anxiety as to when we will also get that moksha. How many days should I go on attending the Vedanta classes? Thus, the verb always creates a problem and many people interpret apyeti in their own way. And Shankaracharya wants to establish that the apyeti verb simply means avidya nivrittihi, nothing more. Merges is equal to the disappearance of ignorance. There is no merging involved as a physical action because the gap between jiva and Brahman is an imaginary gap caused by intellectual confusion only. There is an intellectual confusion requiring only an intellectual rectification born out of right thinking, vicharaha. So, through inquiry, once I know that Brahman was not away, Brahman is not away, and Brahman will never be away, I need not become one with Brahman because I am already Brahman. Knowing this fact is called here as Brahma Apyayaha. So what is the final conclusion of this inquiry? Apyeti is equal to avidya nivrittihi, removal of ignorance. But many people do not accept this. And how they will not hold water, that also we can see. Because they suggest various interpretations and we will see some of them. One interpretation is taking that the Jivatma joins Parambrahma, taking it as an apti. Apti means reaching Paramatma. Because we have stories where they say, if bhaktas take 10 steps forward, Bhagavan comes towards him 20 steps towards the bhakta. So all these are symbolic expressions and we should not take them literally. Therefore, some people take Jivatma goes and joins Paramatma. In fact, in systems like Visishtadvaita, Jivatma has to travel through Shukla Gati to attain moksha. All these Shukla Gati, Sushumna Nadi and all we have already mentioned many times. They do not accept Jivan Mukti. Mukti is merging with the Lord. For that one has to go through Shukla Gati, going through Sushumna, Brahmarandram, you know, the center part of the crown and merge. Thus, in many systems, moksha involves traveling and merging with the Lord. And Shankaracharya says that is not acceptable. Why? We can give any number of reasons. Paramatma is not confined to a place for us to travel and merge. Paramatma is not away from me to travel and merge. In fact, Paramatma is not different from me for me to go and merge. Then we may ask, how do we say so? Acharya says, read this sentence correctly again. Brahmaivasan brahmapyeti. It is a $1 million statement. Brahmaivasan means being Brahman, one reaches Brahman. If I am Brahman, where is the need for me to reach Brahman? If I am already Brahman, Where should Upanishad say, I should join Brahman? It is not a contradiction. So Shankaracharya says, I join Brahman as though in quotes. Being already Brahman, I join Brahman as though. And why as though joining? Because Brahman is as though lost. Because of what? Because of ignorance. I lost my identity with Brahman because of avidya. Ignorance causes a seeming loss of Brahman and provides a seeming gain. So, ajnanena nashtavate abhasate and jnanena praptavate bhavati. Therefore, apyeti means it is only avidya and vrittya praptihi eva. Thus, we don't accept merging into Brahman. Then somebody else gives another suggestion. Okay, we are already Brahman, we accept. We need not travel and attain Brahman. But still, we are said to be Aparabrahman, Samsari Brahman. Parabrahman and Aparabrahman, Samsari Brahman, because of various problems that we have. What we require is, by a process of change, we have to become Parabrahma. We are Aparabrahma now. We have to become Parabrahma by a process of change through lot of sadhanas. We have to change ourselves to become Parabrahma. This requires lot of efforts. Evolution is required. So Acharya writes, Bhavantara, there is a famous thing, Bhavantara Patihi. Aparabrahman has to become Parabrahman. So Jivatma has to become Paramatma. Samsari Brahman has to become a Samsari Brahman. This is the second suggestion given by some other commentators, some other philosophers. And Shankaracharya says that is also not acceptable, because it will come under vikaraha. If there is a change involved, then it becomes a product in time. And if Brahman is a product in time, then it will be subject to loss also. Whatever happens in time is gained in time, will also be lost in time. Not only that, if there is a question of becoming, then Chandogya can never say, Tat Tvam Asi. Tat Tvam Asi means you are Brahman. If we have to become Brahman in time, then Tat Tvam Asi, you are Brahman, that statement cannot be said. If we have to become Brahman in time, then what should Upanishad say? Go on doing sadhana, do shravanam, mananam, nididhyasanam, and you will become one day. Tattvam bhavishyati. It won't say tattvam asi. It should have been said tattvam bhavishyati. As it is said tattvam asi, we need not become Brahman. You are Brahman. Therefore, bhavantrapatihi nasti. So there is no question of becoming Brahman also. Then another suggestion is given by a third person. Go and join Brahman. There is no apti accepted. We need not become Brahman also. That is also accepted. They argue that moksha is attainment of a new type of ananda, utpattihi. Ananda utpattihi, a peculiar ananda, which is not like any type of worldly pleasures also. This portion is also very important. In all books they write moksha ananda is different from all these anandas. These are all material pleasures. In Vedanta, you get another pleasure, which is unlike Vishayananda. They use the expression Vilakshana Ananda, divine ecstasy. It is a type of ananda which is unlike all other pleasures, which are divine ecstasy. Whereas in spirituality, we get spiritual bliss. So once we conclude that spiritual bliss is moksha, daily we look forward for some type of bliss. I don't find any, so they conclude what we have is only an academic study. Sadhana is needed. You have to sit in Nirvikalpaka Samadhi, then only we will get a new type of ananda. It's a mystic bliss will come. In fact, Acharya himself takes this misconception and suggests here that Vilakshana Ananda Anubhavaha Moksha, experience of extraordinary bliss, is illogical. It cannot be moksha. He says, if a new spiritual bliss or divine ecstasy comes, that is also subject to a beginning because it came on a particular day and at a particular time. If such an ecstasy or spiritual bliss happens to be happening in time, it is janya ananda. It is ananda that is born. It is anitya ananda, and therefore it will be subject to loss also. That is why all those who get some kind of an ecstasy or mood, whatever it might be, they get into that mood and thereafterwards they get out of that mood also. The fact that they are get into and get out of it indicates it is nothing but a mental state. It may be a physical state or mental state, whatever one can name it, it is a state of anatma, and moksha has nothing to do with it, whether it is ordinary state or extraordinary state. Therefore, Shankaracharya says that the new ananda also will go away. It will have a date of manufacture and a date of expiry also. Then the Purvapakshi, he suggests the divine ecstasy is not born, but it is already existent, but becomes abhivyaktaha, manifest at the time of moksha. Then Shankaracharya asks the question, let us suppose that there is a new ananda already there, but unmanifest, becoming manifest in moksha avastha. In this new ananda, vilakshana ananda, extraordinary bliss belonging to anatma or atma is the question. The ananda, in this vilakshana ananda, the new ananda, this extraordinary bliss, does it belong to anatma or to atma is his question. If the new ananda belongs to anatma, like different states of mind, samadhi mind, active mind, etc., Acharya says you cannot call it any peculiar ananda because it is like any other anatma ananda only. If this new ananda appearing in moksha is not born but appear in moksha belongs to anatma, then it is like vishayananda only, and every vishayananda is peculiar. In the same way, in moksha also, he gets another flavor of vishayananda only, and what is big deal about it? It may last longer or shorter. And vishayananda falls under samsara only, experiential pleasure. So even if it comes under samadhi, it is vishayananda only, anatma ananda only, born out of mental state. And any ananda born out of a mental state is samsara. We defined already earlier. It is greater samsara because I always want to retain that mental state. I don't want to talk to people. I don't want to open my eyes. I get angry when I am disturbed. Therefore, we never approve of hunting different states of mind because it is the greatest subjective samsara. Earlier, I tried to maintain an objective world. Now, I try to keep the mind in one particular state, but mind can never remain permanently in one state. If you say new ananda belongs to anatma, it is vishayananda samsara. Then he says, no, it is not like that. There is a new ananda, it is not born, it is already there, it does not belong to anatma also, but it belongs to atma itself. Therefore, atmananda comes to manifestation in moksha. It is not produced in moksha, but comes to manifest in moksha as a peculiar, extraordinary ananda. Who says this? Purvapakshi. Therefore, this person, suddenly he starts jumping. And once we start jumping because of ananda, atmananda, what happens? It is a non-stop jumping. It will be eternal jumping. Something is good to hear, but once you start thinking and acting, it will burst as a balloon, cannot stand inquiry at all. Therefore, Shankaracharya says, because that is eternal ananda, it should be. If jumping ananda is eternal ananda, you cannot stop. Therefore, Shankaracharya says, that also is not acceptable. Because something can appear, if it was not appearing before, because of some obstruction, what can appear in time? That which was not appearing before, because of some obstruction, can appear again when the obstruction is gone. Now, you are talking about Atmananda, and where is that Ananda? It is in the Atma. What is Atma? Atma Chaitanyam. Atma is Chaitanyam. I, subject, the awareness. So, if there is Ananda in Atma, which is ever effulgent, and that Ananda can never be obstructed by anything at any time, and Ananda, which is present in the ever-evident Atma, can never be obstructed by anything at any time. If Ananda is in Anatma, then there is a gap. Atma is here, Anatma is there, and there is a wall in between. Because of the obstruction, it was unmanifest, and with the removal of the wall obstruction, it is manifest, but there is no distance between self-evident Atma and Ananda. Therefore, Atma Ananda cannot be obstructed anytime. Therefore, no question of Atma Ananda manifesting at a particular time as a blissful experience. Whatever comes as a blissful experience is a state of Anatma. It is Vishayananda. And Atmananda cannot remain obstructed for some time and again appearing another time. Therefore, a new Ananda cannot be defined as moksha. Therefore, Ananda Utpatti also is negated. So, Apti is gone, Vikaraha is gone also. Then what is moksha? We have already said that moksha is avidya nivrittihi. Then the Purvapakshi says, okay, let us assume, can't you take avidya nivritti itself as a change in the Atma? You know how he is arguing. Avidya nivritti itself as a change in Atma. And what is the change? Previously, avidya was there and then avidya is gone. Previously, avidya sahita Atma was there and moksha avasthayam, avidya rahita Atma, it has become now. Is that not a change? At least it's a purification, one can call it. It's a refinement, a samskara, one can call that. So now change, a process is involved. And Acharya did not accept this for two reasons. First reason is, you cannot say that avidya has gone from Atma because avidya does not belong to Atma. Avidya nivritti cannot bring in a change. Or you cannot say avidya has gone from Atma because avidya does not belong to Atma. Why? Because avidya is illumined by Atma itself. What Atma illumines is different from that. Avidya is Vishayaha. Atma is Vishayi. Avidya is object. Atma is the subject. How can that remain here? It is like what? With eyes, you cannot see the white color or the black circle belonging to your own eye. What belongs to your eye cannot see. Similarly, if avidya belongs to Atma, Atma cannot objectify that. The very fact that Atma illumines avidya indicates that avidya does not belong to Atma. Therefore, Atma has changed, you can never say. Thereafter, the second point is, even if you suppose avidya is in Atma, avidya is located in Atma, even then avidya nivritti cannot bring any change in Atma. How do you say so? It cannot bring in any change because avidya is of a lesser order of reality. Brahman is paramarthikam and avidya is vyavaharikam, or it is mithya. And mithya avidya remaining or not cannot bring in any change to satya atma. So just as perception of a snake on the rope will not cause any change upon the rope. Therefore, in me, the Brahman, there is no change at all because of avidya satvam or avidya asatvam, whether avidya is there or not. I am and I will ever be Brahman. Therefore, there is no question of samskara or purification also taking place in me. Then what is merging? Merging is nothing but knowing. Other than knowing, knowing within quotes, other than knowing this fact, never expect any external change in the world, in the body, or anywhere. Then comes the last question. If nothing is going to happen, what is the use of moksha at all? What is the use of attending all these classes and all the efforts? Further, Shankaracharya says that when we say we are not going to get anything, we only mean that we are not going to get anything in the real sense of the term. But there is a seeming accomplishment which is very important. That has got a very, very big significance because it negates the seeming loss, which is the cause of all our struggle in life. Loss of peace of mind, loss of security, loss of purnatvam, all of them. I am struggling to gain all of them. Remember, when you lose something very valuable, you are worried. And for worry, the loss need not be a real loss. Remember, worry is very intense. Whether loss is real loss or apparent loss. Imagine a diamond, you know, costing a lot of money, which was in my hand and fell down in my shirt pocket itself. Still, the thought of its seeming loss can create even a heart attack to someone and even death. Therefore, seeming loss creates samsara and seeming gain can remove the biggest problem in life, and that itself is the gain of moksha. Therefore, it is useful because it puts an end to all our struggles in life. Therefore, Brahma ivasan, Brahma apyeti iva jnanena, through jnanam. Mantra 4.4.7. Tadesha shloko bhavati yada sarve pramuchyante kamayosya hridi shrutaha ata martyo mruto bhavati atra brahma samashnuta iti. In support of the previous idea, a Rig Mantra quotation is given by Yajnavalkya. Tadesha shloko bhavati. Tasmin arte, to support Yajnavalkya's argument. And what is the idea conveyed before? Kama nivritya moksha praptihi visa. And of course, kama nivritti is through avidya nivritti, and that is understood. And avidya nivritti purvaka, kama nivritya moksha praptihi. We saw in the last class. So, supporting this mantra is there's a familiar mantra in Kathopanishad, that is in the second chapter. 2.3.14, I have put the reference here. What does the mantra say? Sarve kamaha pramuchyante. In case of a wise man, all desires are gone. And where were those desires? Hridishritaha. The desires that were suffocating the mind, were bugging the mind, and making the mind burdensome, making the life itself is a struggle. So that kama was very much there. Here hridi, hridi means antakarana, manaha, manas. So we have to note very carefully that when we talk about desires, we talk of two types of desires. One is binding desire, another is non-binding desires. And binding desires come from a mind which is ignorant and which has a sense of apurnatvam, that I am small, I am limited, I am not self-sufficient, all that thing. So because of the sense of inadequacy, whenever such desires comes, it is a binding desire. Because if fulfilled, it will uplift me, if not, it will drag me down. Whereas there is a second type of desire called non-binding desire, which comes out of a wise man's mind, which is ever purnaha. In fact, it is an expression of purnatvam, which we call as anugraha or grace. So when desire comes for an ignorant man, it is a curse. And when desire comes for a wise man, it is a blessing to the society. It is grace. It is Ishvara Anugraha. And whenever we talk about moksha as freedom from desire, we should always add freedom from binding desire. Non-binding desire, any amount you can have as long as it is not adharmic. Binding adharmic desires are gone. Non-binding dharmic desires, any amount is okay. Non-binding dharmic desire, any amount is okay. In fact, such non-binding desires even Bhagavan has. As was told in Taittiriya Upanishad, Sokamayata bahusyam prajayeyeti satapotapyata satapastaptva idagum sarvamasrujata. Even Bhagavan had desire to create the world and he wished to take avatara. But such desire does not bind him. Therefore, yada sarve bandaka kamaha purnatva janya kamaha hriti shritaha pramuchyante. Then what happens? Atha martyaha amruto bhavati. Amruto bhavati. Then the mortal becomes immortal. Martyaha means marana yogyaha. Kala parichinnaha. Amrutaha means marana rahitaha. Kala aparichinnaha bhavati. Again the question comes, how can a mortal ever become immortal? How can a limited person ever become limitless? Because limitlessness is never a product, never a becoming. You cannot say, I become eternal from tomorrow. How can I? I can never become eternal from tomorrow. Eternity cannot begin in future. And therefore, immortality also cannot be an event in future. How does the teacher say mortal becomes immortal here? We should know that the one who took to himself to be mortal becomes immortal by knowing that mortality is a confusion, is a misconception. The one who took to himself to be mortal, because he becomes immortal. Mortal does not become immortal. The one who thought himself to be mortal now knows himself to be immortal. After jnanam. Therefore, travel from mortality to immortality is travel from ignorance to knowledge. And that is why Mrityorma Amritam Gamayam is always Tamasoma Jyotir Gamayam. Mortality to immortality is not a travel, not an event, not a process, but it is travel from ignorance to knowledge. It is a matter of understanding. If you understand that, you are immortal. If you do not understand, you are mortal. Therefore, Atham Martyaha Amrito Bhavati. So, adhyastam martyatam apagacchati. And atra brahma samashnate, he attains brahman here itself. Here also attains is to be in quotes, in inverted commas. Attainment is in the form of owning up. Aham brahma asmi. This mantra is important from another angle also, because it uses the word atra. It's an important word and it says moksha is here itself. Which means Jivan Mukti is acceptable to Shastram. Where many philosophers, they say moksha is not possible here at all. For them, the first qualification for moksha is what? Maranam. Somebody has to die to get moksha. Then other qualifications like upasana, etc. is there. One will go through Shukla Gati, attain Vaikuntha Loka, Brahma Loka, Kailash, Shiva Loka, any of those. Tat tat lokaham praptiyeva mokshaham. So, it's according to many people, whereas Upanishad very clearly says, atra. Atra means, asmin jivit sharire, in this body which is alive, one can attain mokshaha. Iti means it indicates the Rig Mantra quotation. Now Yajnavalkya himself continues with the same topic. In the next shloka we will read 4.4.7, continuation of the mantra. Tad yatha ahinirvayanim వల్మీకేమృతా ప్రత్యస్థా శయీత ఏవమే వేదం శరీరం శేథే అథాయమ అశరీర అమృత ప్రాణ బ్రహ్మైవ తేజ ఏవ సోహం భగవతే సహస్రం దదామీతి హోవాచ హోవాచ జనకో వై దేహ. సో నౌ ద క్వశ్చన్ ఇస్ హౌ క్యాన్ యూ టాక్ అబౌట్ జీవన్ ముక్తి బికాస్ యాజ్ లాంగ్ యాజ్ ద బాడీ ఈజ్ దేర్ సఫరింగ్స్ కెనాట్ బి అవాయిడెడ్ బికాస్ మోక్ష ఈజ్ ఫ్రీడమ్ ఫ్రమ్ సఫరింగ్ దుఃఖం. And how can there be freedom from suffering as long as physical body is there? Because body will become old and it will get all kinds of pains, etc. How they will go? And therefore, nahavai sa sharirasya priyaha priyayo apahati api apahati rasti in Chandogya. We already saw that as long as one is sa shariraha, one has got the body, one cannot be free from pains. Therefore, how is Jivan Mukti possible? This doubt one can have after listening to Atra Brahma Samashnute that we just read. For that, Yajnavalkya gives the answer. He says, Shariram's presence is not the sorrow, but Sarira Abhimanam is the cause of sorrow. Presence of Shariram is not sorrow. Sharira Sattvam is not Dukkha Hetuhu. But Sharira Abhimanam is Dukkha Hetuhu. And in the case of a Jnani, Shariram continues because of Prarabdha Karma. But Sharira Abhimana is not gone. That is the biological experience of pain or hunger or thirst, because biological experience cannot be stopped. But the mental worries, sorrows, fear, tension, anxiety, which we call as samsara, they will not be there. Like a baby, for example, a baby has to undergo physical pains. It may be an ant or mosquito bite, hunger or thirst. It also undergoes the biological problems. But because the baby does not have strong sharira abhimanam and individuality, it does not worry about the consequences. Baby does not know worry. Thus, there are two types of pains, the psychological pain and physiological pain. Jnanam does not remove physiological or biological pains, but Jnanam can remove all the psychological problems like anxiety, fear, worry, and all that. The baby does not bother about what will be the medical expenditure, what is the bill, will my insurance cover or not, what will happen to my brothers and sisters, will I survive, will I get medical claim insurance. All these are projections of mind that we call samsara. Therefore, Yajnavalkya says, Jivan Mukta has got shariram, but not sharira abhimanam. Therefore, he is a shariraha. Because Sharira Abhimana Abhavat, it's not there. That is why Jnani is given the name Videhaha. Janaka is called Videgaha. Vigataha Dega Abhimanaha Yasmatam Saha Videgaha. To convey this particular idea, Yajnavalkya gives a snake example. We know the snake removes or sheds its skin regularly. As long as the skin is on the snake, it is bothered about the skin and it has got skin abhimana. But the moment it has set aside the skin and snake continue to be there, but the snake is not affected by what happens to the skin. Of course, the example is only to show snake is affected by it. We should not take the example extended beyond, because it has separated itself from the skin. In the same way, the skin-like body does not affect the Jnani because he has separated himself from the body, Deha Abhimana. As I told, should not be extended. This has only limited purpose, this example. So in the case of a snake, it throws away the skin and goes somewhere else. We should not ask the Jnani also to leave the body here and go somewhere. The example should be taken only to show snake is not worried about the skin, only that much. Similarly, after Atma Anatma Viveka, The jnani does not bother about the prarabdhams of the body. That much only for the example. Now if you look at the mantra, Jivan Mukti is like the following example. Ahihi. Ahihi means a snake. Nilvayani. It's a complex word to pronounce. N-I-L-R-Vayani. So Nilvayani, skin. That means skin. Therefore, the meaning is sarpa twak. Sarpa means snake, twak means skin. The snake skin. So Valmike Pratyastha Shayita remains on the ant hill. Valmiki means ant hill. It casts off or sets aside this by the snake, the skin. In what condition? Mrita, lifelessly, without any life. The skin is just left out. Just like that. Evam evam idam shariram shete. In the same way, the body of the wise man also remains without the sharira abhimana. The only difference is what? In the snake, it is a physical separation of the skin. In case of a jnani, it is an intellectual separation. In the case of a snake, it is a physical separation. But for jnani, it is a separation born out of understanding. And because of this understanding, he accepts the prarabdhas of the body. Prarabdha, so prarabdhaya samarpitam, swavapuhum, ityesha, manisha mama. In Manisha Panchakam, Acharya said, prarabdhaya samarpitam, swavapuhum, ityesha, manisha mama. I have got all that I need. Now I will give this body to prarabdha. He forgets purusharthas. Hence, jnani is ever free. He is will free. He doesn't use his will for any of those. According to circumstances, whatever is required, he does with no desire of his own. His body too gets sukham. It goes through desha, kala, prarabdha, all that. He does not have attachment to life or death. That abhimana rahityam is mentioned here. So, evam evam idam shariram shete. This body lies here, but not lifeless unlike the snake skin, it is as though lifeless. Then what happens to the ajnani? What is the jnani? Atham ayam ashariraha bhavati. Jnani becomes bodiless. That means sharira traya rahitaha. Stula shariram, sukshma shariram, karana shariram, sharira trayaha. So, divyohya murta purushaham, sabahyabhyantarahyo abdarohyajaham, apranohya mana shubraham, hyaksharat parataparaham. In Mundaka Upanishad, we saw that. So, amurtaha, I am disembodied. Therefore, only amurtaha. Amrutaha is immortal, jnani is immortal. And pranaha, pranaha means it's also pranasya pranaha, the life of prana tattvam, the life of life itself. We have already seen shrotrasya shrotram, manaso manoyat, vachoha vacham, savu pranasya pranaha. We saw it in Kano Upanishad. Because pancha prana by themselves is jadam, inert, because it is made up of vayu. They are conscious because of atma alone. And Atma lends consciousness to Prana. Therefore, Atma is the very life of Prana. Therefore, Prana and Brahmaiva. Brahma means Jnani is none other than Brahman. And Tejaha eva. Jnani is nothing but Tejaha. Chaitanya Prakashaha. Chit Jyotihi. Jyotishamapi Jyotihi. So, it is the very light of consciousness. Thus, this is a Mahavakyam. This talks about the oneness between the Jnani and Brahman. The Jivatma, Paramatma, Aikyam. With this, Moksha Varnanam topic also is over. So, in these two mantras, Moksha Varnanam was done and Janaka, the student, was extremely happy because the teaching is completed. Yajnavalkya has talked about samsara. He has talked about moksha, and therefore Janaka offers to Yajnavalkya another 1,000 cows. Soham Bhagavate Sahasram Dadami Itiha Uvacha. Kaha Uvacha? Janakaha Uvacha. Bhagavate means Yajnavalkya. So Soham Bhagavaha means Bhagavate Yajnavalkya. And what type of Janaka? Vaidehaha. Deharahitaha Videha Raja. Then Shankaracharya just asks an incidental question and answers also himself. Previously, in the second section of this chapter, at the end of the teaching, Janaka offered the whole kingdom to Yajnavalkya. I am Aham Asmi Ime Videhaha. There Janaka offered his kingdom and also himself as a Dasa to Yajnavalkya as Guru Dakshina. Shankaracharya points out that previously Janaka offered the whole kingdom and now after a so wonderful teaching, why only 1,000 cows he offers now? Why not the whole kingdom be offered? Shankaracharya himself answers, if the whole kingdom is given to Yajnavalkya, Yajnavalkya may think that Janaka is totally satisfied and may go away. Janaka likes to hear some more about the sadhana of his knowledge. Yajnavalkya talked about Brahman, talked about samsara, moksha, but he has not said anything about sadhana part. And therefore, Janaka wants to listen to the sadhana part also. Therefore, 1,000 cows he has agreed to give and waited for further knowledge from Yajnavalkya. Therefore, Yajnavalkya will teach more about sadhana in the following portions that we will read. Mantra 4.4.8. Tadete shloka bhavanti anupantavitata puranaha mam sprishtonu vittomayaiva tena dhiraha apiyanti brahma vidaha swargam lokamita urdvam vimuktaham. Tadete shloka bhavanti, following mantras are in support of my teaching, says Yajnavalkya. Shlokaha, shlokaha in plural, because Yajnavalkya quotes many mantras from mantra 8 to mantra 21. 14 quotations he gives. And what is the idea conveyed before? Kama nivritya moksha praptihi. How do you remove the kama? Kama cannot go by itself. Desire can go, never go by itself. Nor desires go away by fulfillment also. When one desire is fulfilled, it will lead to another one or many. But desires go away only by removing the root of desire, root cause of desire. And the root is what? Apurnatvam. I miss always something or the other in life, that attitude. What I miss, that may vary, but that I miss, that continues. So as a child, I missed toys. As youth, I miss wife and children. As a married person, I miss so many things. So as long as I am apurnaha, desires won't go away. And apurnatvam is the cause by avidya, ignorance. And therefore, without self-knowledge, desire cannot go, motives cannot go. Therefore, kama nivrittihi is ajnana nivrittihi. Ajnana nivrittihi is jnana praptihi. Therefore, we can say jnana margaha eva moksha margaha. Jnana marga is not one of the margas of moksha. Jnanam is the only means for moksha. So, in all these 14 shlokas, shloka 8 to 21, jnana marga is glorified. And the glory of jnanam, Lord Krishna himself said in the Bhagavad Gita, Nahi jnanena sadrisham pavitramiha vidyate tatsvayam yogasam siddhaha kalenatmani vindati. When it is called Rajavidya, Rajaguhya. So in the Mundaka also it is said Paravidya. Here a rishi is giving this mantra after attaining jnanam. Like the Trishanku Rishi in Sikshavali. Trishanku means one should not think of some Trishanku. Trishanku Shurga and all that. There's a Rishi called Trishanku. In Taittiri Upanishad, Aham Vrikshas Yareriva Kirti Prittam Gireriva Urdva Pavitro Vajiniva Swamrita Masmim Dravinagum Savarchasam Sumedha Amritokshitaha Iti Trishankur Vedanu Vachanam. Trishanku Rishi, after gaining knowledge, was feeling so blessed and says that I have got the most wonderful wealth in my life. Exactly like Trishanku Rishi, here also another jnani who looks into his heart and feels so blessed. Danyoham, kritakrityoham, he says pantaha. Pantaha means this jnana marga, this path of knowledge, is anuhu, is extremely subtle. Why jnanam is very subtle? Because it deals with Brahman, that is very subtle. So, sukshma vishayatvada sukshmaha. And that is why many people do not understand the glory of knowledge. In fact, they just set aside by saying that Jnana Marga is after all an intellectual exercise. They say Shastra is of no use. It seems Swamiji quotes someone who is a well-known person. He said, who wants all this Shastra garbage? A well-known person. He being so such an internationally known person, this spreads across the globe also. In fact, anyone in the tradition who listens will get greatly hurt by such statements. Why? Because the person has not come in the tradition. Therefore, the glory of Shastram and Jnanam is not known to him. They say, don't tell me about Shastra, but teach me meditation, they say. Shastras, etc., are all allergic to them. Remember, clearer the understanding of Shastra, clearer is the understanding of myself. More I look at myself in the mirror, better I know my face. Every word of the Shastra is like a mirror. The more serious my study is, more clearer will be my understanding of myself. This fact is not known. Therefore, the Rishi says, Anuhu. Not only Brahman is Anuhu, but the Jnana Marga itself is subtle. And many people do not understand that. And Vitataha. Vitataha means which is very extensive, very long. In what form? In the form of a Guru Shishya Parampara. The lineage is very long, unlike inventions in science. The length of Jnana Parampara is from Brahman himself. Brahma Devanam Pratamasamba Bhuva. Mundaka Upanishad, we saw that already. Narayanam Padma Bhuvam Vasishtam. Shaktim Chatat Putra Parasharancha. The entire Guru Parampara starting from Narayana. It is a chain which is very, very extended. It's called Vitataha. And there is another reading also, it's an incidental point, which occurs in Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, in another branch of Shukla Yajurveda. There are two branches I have already mentioned to you, Kanva Shaka and Madhyandina Shaka of Shukla Yajurveda. And in both the branches, the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad occurs with a slight reading difference. When there is doubt in one word, one can refer to the other version. Shankaracharya's commentary is on Kanva Shaka of Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, whereas Madhyandina Shaka has another reading for which Vidyaranya Swami, he gave the Bhashyam. So here Vitaraha is given, and there it was in Madhyandina Shaka, it is given Vitaraha, here Vitataha. So the Taraha means a boat which helps to cross the water. So Jnanam is a float or boat which takes a person across the ocean of samsara. So this is vispashtam taraha means taranam. Taraha means taranam. Taranam anena iti vitaraha. So viseshena taraha, taranam. So samsarasya taranam. It is a boat which takes a person across samsara. As in Krishna said in the Bhagavad Gita, api chedasi papebhyah sarvebhya papakrittamaham sarvajnana plave naiva vrijinam santarishyasi. So vitaraha is plavaha, the boat. And Puranaha, the most ancient also, oldest tradition, because it has come down from the Lord along with creation itself. Brahma Devanam Pratamasamba Bhuvam Vishvasya Karta Bhuvanasya Goptam Sa Brahma Vidyam Sarva Vidya Pratishtam Atharvayam Jeshta Putraya Praha. Mundaka said that. Imam Vivasvate Yogam Proktavana Hamavyayam Vivasvanmanave Praha Manurikshvaka Vebravit. Bhagavad Gita. So all these things they talk about the ancient, the oldest tradition. All other religions are based on certain prophet who came later. But here it is based on the Lord himself, and therefore it is Sanatana Dharmaha. Therefore very ancient. Now remember, it is not description of Brahman. There also we say Purana. But here we describe Jnana Marga, which is also ancient. In short, it is samsara tarana hetuhu, we can say. So this Jnana Marga is the means of going across the samsara sara. So Puranaha means Jnana Marga. So, sadhanam, puranam here. The word purana means the most ancient one. It is not recently originated, but it is the most ancient. Even though ancient, it is not obsolete. Many people think all that are old becomes useless. Old is useless. It is not like the newspaper and even thought it is an ancient, it is valid, even relevant even today. Therefore, purana means purapi navaha. Even though it is old, it is very, very, very much valid means of knowledge. So, mams prashtaha, it has touched me. So, anuvittaha mayaiva, totally assimilated by me. Bhagavan can bless us only by bringing shastram nearer or bringing a teacher, giving jnanam through which we are exposed to our culture. It is due to Ishvara Kripa. Even though all the shastras are old, the knowledge gained from them is relevant and useful to gain moksha and the goal of purushartha. And when we are sick, people can bring a doctor. Doctor can test and he can give us diagnosis, give medicine. But ultimately, swallowing the medicine, I have to do. Similarly, scriptures may be available, teachers may be available, all the relevant things may be available, but it has to be assimilated by me. So, anuvedana means that is becoming one with the teaching. And this is possible only when mananam and nididhyasanam are done. So here, mams prishto, that refers to, mams prishto refers to shravanam, and anuvitto mayaiva refers to mananam and nididhyasanam. Therefore, I am free and I am happy and I have got the teaching. Here also the person declares that, therefore I am free, I am free. We have to supply. Then he says, not only that I have got freedom, because of the knowledge, many people have found freedom because of gaining the same knowledge. Priority should be clear. Dhiraha, sloka says dhiraha. And thereafter, brahma vidaha swargam lokam apiyanti. The discriminate people, the vivekis, think that jnana marga alone is there. And we should dedicate our entire life to go through that. All other margas are supporting sadhanas only. And if others are overemphasized, it will lead to confusion. One should give due stress to pursue Vedanta Shravanam, Mananam and Nididhyasanam. Priorities must be clear. That person for whom the priority is clear is called Dhiraha here. So therefore only he is called Brahma Vidaha. Once I give importance to Vedanta Vichara, I will definitely become Brahmavid. Brahmavid apnoti param. Those intelligent and knower are Brahman, Brahmavidaha, and they go to Swargaloka. And you may wonder here, how a wise man can go to Swargaloka, a jnani, which is Anityaloka. Swargaloka also we told always Anityaloka. Shankaracharya, he adds a note that Swarga here means moksha or Brahman. Otherwise, we know Swargaloka is also an Anitya Loka. We have a similar expression in Keno Upanishad also, in the last mantra of Keno Upanishad. Yova yeta mevam vedapahatyam papmanam anante swarge loke jyeye pratitishtati pratitishtati. The last line in Keno Upanishad. We have said there in that Swarga means moksha. In this context also, Swarga means Ananda Hetuhu Lokaha. Actually, Lokaha should not be translated into world here. It means Swayam Prakashaha. And when do they attain Swarga Loka? Itaha Urdhvam Marana Anantaram. After death, they attain Param Brahma. That means they attain Videha Mukti. Then we'll have a doubt also. Moksha can be attained only after Marana. In this life, there is no benefit at all. One can have this confusion. Then people will ask for something practical, useful in this lifetime. After marana, what happens? We are not bothered. Therefore, Yajnavalkya says, being free even while living, they attain Brahman after death. So, vimuktaha santaha. Jivan muktaha santaha. So, Vedanta is beneficial not only after death, it gives freedom while living also and gives Videha Mukti after death. This is the glory of Jnana Marga. We'll stop with this, continue tomorrow. Yo vedadau swara prokto vedante cha pratishtitah tasya prakritilinasya parasamaheshwarah. Shri Krishna Arpanamastu. Narayana.